Welcome to the Reheat on the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel, powered by InsideTexas.com. I'm Joe Cook, got RT Young, and we got some scrimmage info to talk about. Parker Livingston had a big day on Saturday. He's at a big camp. What does that mean for the Longhorns as they go forward in the rest of the preseason and get ready to face number three, Ohio State, as the number one team? We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the polls. AP poll came out earlier today. Texas top-ranked. But it won't be a number one versus number two matchup. So talk a little bit about that. Make sure you like this video. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. And of course, head to InsideTexas.com. $1 gets you access for the next week. And then you will be part of the best Texas Longhorns community on the web. You also will get full year of access to The Athletic. So a lot of great benefits there. The best inside info, the best recruiting intel, the best coverage of Texas Longhorns football, and then also a look into what The Athletic provides. So make sure you do that. And of course, make sure you go by Paul Wadlington's Thinking Texas Football. That link is also in our description. Every player on the Longhorns, every opponent on the schedule, every SEC team, the landscape of college football, and then of course a look at the 2025 class, especially as a few of those players are set to contribute this year. So go buy that. Always a great way to get ready for the season. But RT, we got to talk a little bit about Parker Livingston and Ryan Wingo. He had a big Saturday. DeAndre Moore, high expectations for him. They brought in Emmett Mosley, but it seems like so far Parker Livingston's kind of been that guy who said, you know what, I'm going to make this a top three wide receiver room, or I'm going to be in this top three in the wide receiver room, and I'm going to be the type of weapon that maybe Texas thought it was getting in the transfer portal.
Yeah, it's super exciting the day that Parker Livingston had on Saturday. Two catches over 20 yards, has a great chemistry rapport with Arch Manning. I don't think it can be stated enough how valuable it is, the fact that Ryan Wingo and Parker Livingston got mostly worked with Arch Manning all of last year. And then the year before that, DeAndre Moore and Arch Manning were running together, Arch Manning's first year on the 40 acres. So he has a lot of chemistry with these guys. Obviously, Eric dropped the intel that, you know, we project at Inside Texas that he's going to be in that starting three, which might come as a surprise to a lot of people who were originally thinking that Emmett Mosley, the fifth, coming out of that pretty big year as a freshman at Stanford, that he would be in that third spot in that other outside receiver position across from Ryan Wingo. But Parker Livingston might just be somebody that you can't keep off the field. Big at 6'4", giant catch radius, really does nothing to meet the stereotype of the typical white wide receiver. It's funny when people talk about on the message boards who that he compares to, and the only guys that he gets thrown out to are the Danny Amendola types. No, not at all. This guy is a superb athlete. His senior season at Lovejoy, before he got hurt, he was putting up truly eye-popping stats. Like, you know, you looked at like what Jonah Williams did last year at Galveston Ball. Parker Livingston was similar. Anytime he touched the ball, it seemed like he was taking it to the end zone. Like I mentioned, giant catch radius, the type of guy that you really want with a young wide receiver, or with a young quarterback, sorry, like Arch Manning, somebody who he can throw it up there, and Ryan Wingo and Parker Livingston are going to get it. We already know the chemistry that he has with DeAndre Moore. So this could be a really, really exciting starting three. Dare I say the best starting three, or at least most talented starting three that Texas has had since that 03 season.
See, I remember you talking about this with me over the course of the weekend, and I was like, dude, what about 2023? But you pushed back on that a little bit, and I understand, because when you have, well, that was Roy, BJ, and then Sloan, correct? Yeah. So that would have been, you know, those top wide receivers, a lot of great plays over their history. And I would have said, what about Xavier Worthy, A.D. Mitchell, Jordan Whittington? But you push back on that a little bit.
Yeah, I think maybe we get a little bit clouded by Jordan Whittington, the person and the teammate and the Longhorn, as opposed to just Jordan Whittington, the wide receiver, or at least maybe how he fit that season with Quinn Ewers. which, you know, wasn't always super seamless. Obviously, Quinn missed 2.5 games in the middle of that season in 2023, had Jatavion Sanders banged up. So the offense definitely didn't stay at its heights that it, you know, reached at one point in Tuscaloosa at the beginning of the season. Another one that could maybe get a shout out would be that, that 18 team, obviously, with Lil Jordan Humphrey, Colin Johnson, and Devin Duvernay. But even that year, you didn't really see Devin Duvernay peaking like he did until the next year, once Lil Jordan was already gone and Colin Johnson was super banged up in that 2019 season. So I don't know if you really ever saw those three wide receivers emerge all at the same time. And obviously, we have a whole season in front of us. We don't know if these three guys could, you know, might be a four-man rotation with Emmett Moseley. We don't know if they're all going to emerge at the same time either. I just like what I'm hearing. I like that they all have built-in chemistry with their quarterback, that they're not going to have to do that on the fly like some of these past teams have had to do. So I'm really excited. I think this has been the position group that in my mind has elevated itself as far as just optimism goes throughout the course of fall camp.
Yeah, and I think the thing to note is that even if let's say like this upcoming Saturday, Emmett Moseley has a big game or a big scrimmage and, you know, kind of surges back into what maybe Texas thought it was getting from that wide receiver position. Well, that's great news. You know, that's not coming at the expense of Parker Livingston and Ryan Wingo or DeAndre Moore. That just means, okay, there's another guy that you can trust to make plays. And in seasons that's with Steve Sarkisian at the helm, we've seen where there's only two guys worthy of trust at that wide receiver position. Sometimes we've seen seasons where there's really only three and yet they play four. But if you can get that fourth guy ready to go and then, you know, figure it out from there, that's nothing but good news for Texas as far as depth, keeping guys fresh and utilizing weapons for Arch Manning this season.
Yeah, and we really like what we're hearing about Daylon McCutcheon and Kalik Lockett too, where, you know, last year, like you said, Joe, I think we went into it thinking, oh man, we're going to have four or five wide receivers with Golden and Isaiah Bond and Jonte Cook. And, you know, we turned around at the end of this year at that Ohio State game, really only had DeAndre Moore and Matthew Golden. Ryan Wingo and Quinn Ewers never really built that connection to get Isaiah Bond. We won't go there. And Jonte Cook was not on the team anymore. So you really would like to see finally a season where if Steve Sarkisian wanted to, I don't know if he has this in him, but maybe Texas finally goes 10 personnel, gets four wide receivers on the field together at the same time. Somebody who's more, you know, analytically or, you know, personnel inclined. I would love to see how many times did he go with 10 personnel on the field when he was at Alabama, when he had those four great wide receivers his first year with Nick Saban. Because what was really eye-popping to me is I remember in 2023 when Texas had the Hail Mary formation on the field against Oklahoma when they lost that Red River, they put three wide receivers out there, Jonathan Brooks and Jatavion Sanders. So even at that moment at a Hail Mary, he didn't put four or five wide receivers out on the field together. So is this the year that he finally does it? If he has just a bunch of weapons and some young guys that he can't keep off the field, we'll see. It would definitely break tendency, but it'd be exciting if he has a new wrinkle to roll out there.
There may have been a bad take Tuesday about that over on Inside Texas, about 10 personnel at some point. But I'm not banking on seeing it later this year just because it's not Steve Sarkisian's forte, unfortunately. But, hey, I want to see it too. Why not? A couple times. You know, let's just dive into it just once.
I mean, he's rolled out the freaking diamond formation out there before. Come on, dude. Why can't you get four wide receivers out on the field at the same time if you're willing to put three running backs on the field?
I'm with you. Before we keep going, you got to show some love to one of our sponsors. That is Laura Baker.
Hi, I want to tell you about Laura Baker. If you're looking for a new home in the 512 or even at this point, let's face it, 737 area code, there's only one number to call. That's Laura Baker at 512-784-0505. As a member of the elite Andy Allen team with Keller Williams, Laura has helped Longhorns find the home of their dreams in Central Texas. Just ask our resident sex symbol, Ian Boyd, who moved all the way from Michigan to Texas with Laura's help. Laura can help you find what you're looking for in the 512, the 737, or even parts of the 254 and the 210. Just, you know, give her a call at 512-784-0505. Her email is in the description as well as the rest of her contact details. She's a friend. Give her a call.
For the first time ever, Texas was the number one team in the AP poll. They were the number one team in the coaches poll last week. They've been the number two team in the preseason a handful of times, but never number one. And, you know, kind of like with the coaches poll, RT, a little bit of split among the voters. I think, you know, only 25 or so first place votes. Penn State got 23. I think Ohio State got 11. Clemson, Georgia, and Oregon each got a handful apiece. But Texas on top. Unfortunately, we don't get the number one versus number two, though, at least in the AP poll.
Yeah, obviously Ohio State is probably a little annoyed about that. Not only are they the national champions and they're having to host the number one team in the country in both polls, but now in the AP poll, they fall to number three, which I think it's funny juxtaposing the Texas and Penn State number one and number two rankings in these polls. And I guess Penn State was number three in the coaches. But can you ever think of a less excited group of voters to put a team up there? I don't feel like anyone is excited about Penn State. They're just sort of the team that's returning the most. Obviously, James Franklin got further than I think people expected him to by making it to the Final Four last year, or the semifinals rather. Wrong sport, sorry. But nobody's excited about Drew Aller, and I just think Penn State is one of those teams that they have a James Franklin-sized ceiling attached to their program, and I think it's interesting that they're sort of number two in this poll because, well, someone has to go there. They're returning a lot, where I think Texas is almost just this freight train of excitement that people are jumping on, mostly because of Arch Manning. But I think how those two just look different in the eyes of the voters is pretty interesting.
I think Penn State's just kind of viewed as a high floor team. I'm not really, am I a James Franklin doubter? Sort of, but am I like James Franklin sucks? No, he's good at what he does. Like, he's not elite at what he does, but he's good at what he does. He got a very beneficial draw last year with SMU, with Boise State. That's why he kind of got to that Final Four, like you mentioned. It's just a team with a high floor. You know, they've got good defensive they've got a good defensive coordinator. They got good defensive pieces. They have a good running back. They have an all right quarterback. Like, it's just kind of the most experienced and elder statesman filled team that you can see kind of on this poll. And then just kind of think, okay, well, if they were that good last year, maybe they'll be that good this year. And so, like, they're not exciting. I agree completely, but they're solid, you know. James Franklin's not been spectacular in his career at Penn State. He's just had a hard ceiling behind the team behind him, and then that team at down at number 14. Doesn't mean he's bad. And maybe this is the year, but this is definitely the year in the preseason. Yeah, Texas, it just kind of feels like it represents a ceiling. You know, what Arch Manning was against ULM and against Mississippi State, two very bad teams, but you saw him crank it up against them. You saw him still put up some good numbers against some other teams in a specialized role. And then you're thinking, well, there's no perfect team. Like, the super team is done. That's why there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different teams with first place votes, is that everybody kind of thinks there's a chance that they could win the title. And there's no one team that's got everybody. You're not going to see 90% blue chip ratio teams anymore. But I look at the top 10. I see nothing wrong with it. 10 teams from the SEC in the top 25. I think there were either 5 or 6. I can do a quick count. 1, 2, 3.
We have an addition there at number 18 that was not in our coaches poll that we talked about a lot last week.
Yeah, that's the big thing. I think it's 6 Big Ten teams, 1 independent, 1 Mountain West, a handful of ACC, a handful of Big 12. But yeah, Oklahoma at 18. It's kind of funny. 17, 18, and 19 used to all be in the same conference and play each other, but something change really fast. Anything big on the top 25 that really stands out to you as either egregious or underrated or a bad inclusion, bad exclusion?
Besides, obviously, the Penn State-Ohio State swap, I think a couple things that jumped out were just you can tell rider preferences maybe over coach preferences, where Clemson obviously is, I think, more liked in this rider poll than it is in the coaches poll. Obviously, people are really excited about Cade Klubnik. And, you know, I think rightfully either forecasting or wish casting him on to maybe that top quarterback position in next year's NFL draft. But they're returning a lot of talent. So they, I think, are somebody that riders are more excited about the Tigers than coaches are. And then you see that again with Oklahoma, where you're getting a lot of John Mateer love right there with them being at 18, obviously not even included in the coaches poll, which is interesting. It just shows what people think about that program, or how the differences of opinion between coaches and riders are really looking at the Sooners going into this season. But then obviously it's just strange that there's a couple teams that I think are falling the exact same spot, like Arizona State. I believe Texas Tech is also 23. It seems like there's a consensus on the Big 12 where their ceiling obviously is capped, but a lot of people are seemingly agreeing on the floors of those Big 12 teams like Arizona State, like Kansas State, the Cyclones, and Texas Tech, that there's clear a top four ahead of the Big 12, and maybe some people have teams like Baylor or TCU there on the outside. But yeah, those are the things that jumped out. What about you?
I'm looking at Illinois and thinking, yeah, they should be number 12. They're not going to stay there. Like, they feel a lot like Indiana. Like, yes, you're in this crescendo of your program, and no doubt it's great for the Illini to be there. But at the same time, like, what does that look like compared to all the other teams ahead of you? Like, what happens if Luke Altmyer goes down? What happens if I don't even know who their big stars are, but it's a lot of returners from a 10-3 team, I think. What happens if any of those guys go down? Like, has Bielema recruited to a level to where those replacements are quality? Sure, to an extent, but not to a top 12 extent. And I'm sure the same thing exists for Arizona State, and maybe it's a little bit of a bias because I saw them last year with my own eyes and I saw them play well. But, you know, maybe I'm just not as critical of the Sun Devils and as I am of the Illini. Indiana doesn't need to be there. Like, they're going to be fine. They may win 8 games. They're not that good. Like, they would lose to, I feel like, every team behind them. The one thing that I mentioned is Indiana's going to be the team that does not stay in the top 25, I think, whenever the final one comes out. Baylor's going to be in there at the end of the year. That's my opinion. Trying to think of what other SEC schools may jump in there. I don't really see anything that I'm concerned that aren't included. Tennessee's kind of that last stand, I guess, because I don't really want to include Missouri. I don't really want to include anybody else, but like, I think Indiana's going to drop out, and I think you may see Baylor in there. And I also don't mind Boise State being kind of that one group of five team that's hanging around in there.
Yeah, and then obviously the ACC, I mean, who's going to be the second and third team in that conference? Because I'm not buying Carson Beck at Miami. I think you're really going to see just how much Cam Ward papered over on that team going into this year. And probably that'll be exposed really rather early in my opinion. And then SMU, it's just they had a lot of luck in one score games last year. They're a team that could see a pretty significant drop off, even though they're returning a lot. So I think their inclusion maybe represents more just, hey, we're rewarding what you did last year. And I think that, you know, what's that conference in the NFL? Is it the NFC South, where it's like whoever loses the previous year, whoever's in last place wins the division the next year? It's like if the Saints are in last place one year, then they get, you know, they win the division the next year. I can almost see something like that happening in the ACC, where some team that, like, you know, maybe even Florida State, who just had a awful, awful 2024. A lot of that was maybe due to some bad luck in some, you know, didn't hit on guys that they got in the portal. But, you know, could you see someone like that, or even, dare I say it, Bill Belichick, jumping into that second spot in the ACC, just because I think there's going to be a big vacuum there where somebody who didn't perform last year might have a chance to really jump up.
The fact that there were some voters who said, you know what, Florida State should be in the top 25, I think we got to question those voters' sanity. Like, they went 2-10 last year. Like, they didn't turn around and go from 2-10 to top 25 in the span of an offseason. You can do a lot of big changes, but you can't do that, in my opinion. BYU and Utah were just outside. BYU, I think, was included in the coaches' poll. Colorado got a few votes. Louisiana Lafayette, Army, Navy. So it's always funny who throws their votes a certain way. I think with the AP, you can always see who casts their ballot a certain way every week, all over the country. Bobaloo, I think, and Kirk Bowles from the Texas market, I believe, have votes. So go complain to them. They won't mind at all. But they've always had a good, I think, grasp of things as far as what the polls look like. But I'm with you for the most part. Just, you know, what's the ACC look like? What happens? But there's a reason we're talking about who's contending for number two. Before we keep going, got to show some love to our other sponsor, and that is David McClellan.
I'm just going to say, guys, you probably need a fiduciary financial advisor. And I've got the guy for you. His name is David McClellan with Forum Financial. He works broadly and deeply with his clients as a financial life coach. And he should know something about coaching because he won several national championships as a swimmer for the University of Texas. He specializes in financial planning and has contributed numerous articles to Kipling on the topic of retirement tax bombs. So contact David today to be your fiduciary financial planner and schedule a 1-hour consultation to assess your financial situations. The free consultation is available, so just give him a call. The number is 312-933-8823. That's 312-933-8823. His email is also in the description below.
Today, it is 19 days until kickoff. We didn't get to come on this channel yesterday, but we're going to talk about the guy who makes it 20 days to kickoff. That is Earl Campbell. That is the inspiration, RT, for your old gnome de plume, Skull Brother, probably the best piece of advertising of all time. I'm pretty sure this is either a picture from 75 or 77. And unfortunately, Earl had his only career interception in the 77 game, but I think he made up for it elsewhere. But you know, this is a figure that you wrote about on Sunday for Inside Texas, just how basically the first real transcendent player who broke into so many different attention spans, not just in college football, not just in football, but kind of throughout the state of Texas as a result of what he did, coming from John Tyler to going to Texas, winning the Heisman, playing for the Oilers, and being Earl Campbell.
Yeah, Earl he's definitely one of the athletes that I would say, I think he might even be bigger than the University of Texas in a way, because he transcends just the Longhorn logo. Obviously, he has the connection with the city of Houston, but really just the whole state. And what I wrote about yesterday was there are so many people who should hate Earl Campbell because, you know, he dominated their teams. But Texas A&M fans like Earl Campbell. My dad loves Earl Campbell. He's one of his favorite athletes of all time. Not a Texas A&M fan, but I grew up in a house divided. And he has no love lost for the Longhorns, but loves Earl Campbell. He's obviously such a big figure on the state level. And you know, one great thing about Earl is just he was maybe the most violent player you've ever seen on the field. It would be very interesting if he played today. Would they ever call targeting on a running back? If they would, Earl Campbell would probably be the person that they would do it against. But then one of the most kind, gentle people off the field. And, you know, I ended the piece with nobody can be like Earl on the field, but we should all try to be more like him off of it. Obviously, just I think when people think of this kind, gentle, cool, laid back figure that they almost associate with Texas and even Austin to a certain degree, I think Earl's the type of person that they're envisioning in their mind. I love seeing the pictures of him just, you know, in backyard parties from the 70s and 80s with Willie Nelson and George Strait and guys like that. So, yeah, it was definitely awesome to write about him. I have gotten a bunch of Skull Brother bumper stickers that I have on my refrigerator in my garage. And people will come over and say sometimes, oh, I didn't know you dipped. And I'll say, well, I haven't since high school, but that's just an homage to the great Tyler Rose that I had to snag a few of those bumper stickers that were still in existence.
Just a pinch between your cheek and gums. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just one of those all-time commercials. And Earl, like you mentioned, he is so likable for a lot of different reasons. Like a lot of football players from that era had demons of different varieties. And you can look at him today and see that he is a different person than what he was 15, 20 years ago. Like, he's overcome a lot of that. He wears the wounds of the battles he waged on the field in the NFL and in college football. And I don't think he hides from that, but he's also just very much Texas, not just Texas Longhorns, although that's a key part of why he's very much Texas, not just Houston Oilers, although that's a key part. He is just very much state of Texas. And there's a dang good reason why nobody wears number 20 at the University of Texas anymore, and it is because of him. So, Texas first Heisman Trophy winner, even though we're 19 days away, always good to celebrate 20 days. And it's just one of those things where this is where we start really getting close. Like, you got 60, like, that's 2 months away, and that's a little bit of a taste. But when you start going through some of the retired numbers, you get to 34. All right, you're 5 weeks away, just about. All right, then you get to 22 with Bobby Lane, then 20, and then Vince, Colt, those guys show up, and you're getting closer and closer, and you're just getting more and more excited for the season. So
16 could be a pretty big number here in a couple of years, maybe even with a double whammy with Michael Taft and Arch Manning. So
we'll see. Football keeps the standards high. I mean, I appreciate that. I think there should be maybe some exceptions, but when you keep the honor very, very high, it makes it an honor, and I'm all for that. But 20-minute
number 11.
I'm with you there. I think defensive player of the year is a player of the year award, and DeLoss, just go put a recommendation in. Thank you for watching this video. Make sure you like it. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. And, of course, make sure you head to InsideTexas.com. Sign up today. You will get access for just $1. You'll get access to all the best team inside info, recruiting information. We're waiting on a decision tomorrow. We have the latest intel on that. You'll get the best community, the best everything, and you will get a full year of access to The Athletic. So go sign up. The first link in this description is the one you're looking for. We'll sign you up for just for $1. And then go buy Paul Wadlington's Thinking Texas Football. Every player, every position, every team on the schedule, every SEC opponent, a look at the college football landscape and a look at the 2025 class. You're not going to want to miss it. And then, speaking of books, if you are in the Austin area this Saturday, what's going on, RT?
Yeah, we'll be doing a event at Book People on North Lamar at 2:00. Come meet yours truly, but more excitingly, come meet Derek Johnson. We'll talk about my book, The Longhorn Alphabet, Texas Football A to Z, for a little bit. Family friendly, all ages are welcome, and then we'll do a signing afterwards. So, you know, you can come get DJ's signature signed on his page in the book. Should be a lot of fun.
Cannot wait. That has me ready for the season. All this has me ready for the season. Really excited for it. RT, thank you. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time on The Reheat on the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel, powered by InsideTexas.com.